Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava, my partner Jess Romero. We make a two-man car. We're 10-8. We're giving you some Catholic intel and some briefing.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Good morning, Jess.
Ruben, I was President Trump was here in Goodyear, Arizona, and I was there sitting in the VIP section. And you're not going to believe it. I was asked to do the opening prayer again. And guess what this bonehead did? I got there about 30 minutes too late because of traffic. I didn't time it right. So they got some Protestant to do the opening prayer. They said, "We're waiting for you. Where were you at?" I said, "I was stuck in traffic. I called you guys." They said, "Well, sorry about that. We had to start the program, so we got some pastor that was there, some Protestant pastor, to do the opening prayer." So I still sat in the VIP segment with all the senators, the governors, congressmen. I mean, it was an incredible event, and let's keep praying that we get the most pro-life president back into office November 3rd. Hey, Ruben, we got a pretty good show today. Everybody asked questions about Halloween. So we're going to try to talk about all things Halloween today.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's just right around the corner. And I'll be before we introduce these articles, let me just mention, here's the three positions of Catholics when it comes to Halloween. Here's what I've seen. And then we'll jump right into the articles. You have Catholics that'll say, "Hey, there's nothing wrong with Halloween. Have at it, man. You know, dress like a Playboy bunny. Dress like a pimp. You know, have fun. It's, you know, it's a great American holiday. Just, you know, it doesn't matter what you wear. Just go out there. You know, you can dress like Freddy Krueger. That's all good." So you have that group that they just basically just say, "You know what? Just have at it. Just let it all hang out," so to speak. Then you have another group that'll say, again, they'll take, "This is of the devil. You know, these are Satanists. This is witchcraft. This is the occult." Mm-hmm. And so then you'll have a reactionary group. And I sympathize with them because you'll probably see that based on everything that I've seen, I have a lot of those leanings. Then there's a third way, which is saying, "You know what? As Catholics, we've always evangelized the pagans. We've always baptized the world. You know, we've taken Greek pantheons, when Catholicism became dominant in Imperial Rome, those Greek pantheons, they became Catholic basilicas and Catholic churches." So the third way is, let's baptize Halloween because it's built right in to All Saints Day and All Souls Day. And it does have some Catholic history to it. And so
okay.
those are the three approaches of to Halloween for Catholics.
Yeah. You know, I raised my kids. They were going to Catholic school, so they didn't, they dressed up as saints for their Halloween, and they went to school. They had to have a little, it was educational because they had to, explain their saint. They had to know something about.
Well, they went to a good Catholic school because a lot of liberal Catholic schools let them dress like Freddy Krueger.
Oh yeah, no, they had, you know, so they got an education. They got to know about who,
All Saints Day,
Maria
All Souls
Garetti
Day,
Saints, yeah, Philomena. I saw them dressed up as, it was just wonderful. It was, and they, the parents would show up and we'd learn, you know, just as well. Anyway, that was my experience with it.
Well, let's jump right into it, Ruben. Here's the first article. It's written by an exorcist. His name is Monsignor Rossetti. Very short. He says, "Halloween will be ugly." And I think why he's saying this is because, again, just we're in an election season. You have Antifa, Black Lives Matter. You've got the left that's going crazy because Amy Coney Barrett has been put in as the 9th Supreme Court Justice. So you kind of see anger and satanic rage spreading all over the country right now. Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You see what's happening in Philadelphia. Hey, Ruben, and by the way, you know, this young man that was shot in Philadelphia, long criminal record, young black guy, long criminal record, rushed the cops with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time it's happened in the last couple of weeks. Several people have gotten shot rushing police with a knife. Well, guess what? People are saying, well, you know what? Why don't you just, you know, I don't know, shoot him with a dart or something or throw a net on him. It's just a knife.
Or,
really?
Or like Biden says, shoot him in the leg. Yeah. Yeah.
Ruben, yesterday, three Catholics were going to Mass in France and a Muslim ran into a Catholic church during the Mass, or it could be, I think, before the Mass, killed three Catholics inside the church and cut the head off of a female Catholic with a knife, Ruben, a knife. And now we're having people tell the police, knives? Why are you shooting somebody with a knife? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This happened also in Mexico. A priest got his throat slit probably about a year ago, yeah, celebrating Mass in Mexico. A Muslim ran up to the altar and cut his throat from ear to ear. His head almost fell off also. And also in another country, I think 2 years ago, I think it was France again, a priest during Mass got his head cut off. Are you kidding me? Are you saying not... telling police, don't shoot a person with a knife. What can a knife do to you?
Yeah. And is this the religion of peace? Is that who we're looking at, suspects?
Ruben, I was on Newsmax this morning from New York. They called me up at 3 in the very early in the morning. It's a big conservative outlet, and so I was on national news, and I gave a 10-minute presentation on the way Islam is talk about systemic violence. Mm-hmm. It's built within Islam because of the Quran since they start in the 7th century. And Ruben, this basically, I'm just wondering what the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is thinking of right now, because he wrote a document, you know, for Fratelli Tutti, about, you know, Muslims being our brothers, about this brotherhood of mankind, about Muslims being our brothers. This is how they respond to his encyclical. They cut a Catholic's head off inside a Catholic church.
Let's see if he's going to speak out on it, you know.
He should.
Yeah.
He has the obligation to speak out against this and say, you know what? Not all of them are our brothers.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? They're not even our brothers theologically because they're not baptized.
Right.
I mean, baptism is what brings you into the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God and under the motherhood of the church. They're our fellow, you know, creatures on planet Earth. They're fellow human beings, you know. But to call them brothers theologically, it's not the tradition of the church.
Oh, I wonder if he still believes in the plurality of religions here, that God believes in it.
I don't know. Gosh. Okay, Ruben, so Monsignor Rossetti says, Satan's rage is spreading, an exorcist powerful answer to all problems in the United States. He says, the look of Satan's rage is unmistakable. There are several traditional signs that a person is possessed. Understanding, speaking unknown languages, number one. Two, aversion to the sacred. Three, occult knowledge. Four, superhuman strength. He says, I would add another one, a look of inhuman rage. Ruben, you've seen that as a cop. Ungodly anger.
Yeah.
So when you see it on a possessed person's face for the first time, it takes your breath away. Ruben, continue.
Go ahead, Jess. I'm having trouble with my computer. Go ahead.
Today, as I look out across this country, I see the same fire of Satan's rage. And it's spreading. Hatred, bitterness, violence, and rancor are everywhere. People cannot civilly dialogue. Backbiting and constant criticism are the norm. Everywhere there is hatred and anger. Satan's rage is spreading. We can try to throw out the water of our own righteousness on it and put out the fire, but there's only one antidote. And Reverend Martin Luther King, the Baptist pastor, told us, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Only love and only God can drive out Satan and his hatred. So Father Monsignor Rossetti, the exorcist, writes, love your enemies. He writes, love Democrats and Republicans, love Trump and Biden, love Pence and Pelosi, love the rich and love the poor, love blacks and love whites, love those in Antifa and love the police. Love people who are terrorists and criminals. Where there is love, there is God. Then he writes, time is short. The fire is raging. We need the emergency vaccine of love. And we need it now. I'll make a comment that Father just mentioned here, this exorcist. That is true. The only thing that the devil fears, even in an exorcism, is love. When the possessed person they start filling themselves with the love of God. This is what starts driving out the demon. And they also feel the love of the priest doing the prayers, the exorcist. They feel the love of the lay people in the room that are doing intercessory prayer on their knees. And so this priest is absolutely right. It is love that drives out the diabolical. It's also backed up by scripture. St. Peter writes in the first letter of Peter, he says, love covers a multitude of sins. And in the catechism, you really can love people. You know, you could love, you know, it says here, Democrats, Republicans, Trump and Biden. How do you do that? The catechism's definition of love, which comes from St. Thomas Aquinas, is this. Love is to desire and will what's best for another person. Guess what?
Yep.
I will the salvation. I will for Democrats and Republicans and, you know, people that I don't agree with, Biden and Pelosi. I will that they come into an encounter with Jesus Christ, that he changes their life, that they walk in a state of sanctifying grace, that they walk in the obedience of faith, correct their life, and get to heaven one day. That's what I will for them, Ruben.
Yeah, it's tough to dialogue with them, especially when there's so much visceral, just animosity and anger towards people who disagree with them. You know, it's I don't see that happening from people on the right when they dialogue with people on the left. It's, I mean, they could reach a certain point, yeah, and they could lose it. But yeah, well, you're right. We got to pray for, be able to pray for each other and what will the best. Hey, we're coming up on a break. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Keep talking about Halloween. Don't miss it.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car, 10-8. Jess, I think, what was the final outcome of, did the suspect in France, did he get put down, or did he get away, or what?
Yeah, he got shot, and he's in custody.
Okay.
But I think the Prime Minister, the President in France, he's conservative, and I think they're going to take a look at their entire immigration policy because he's realizing that they've caused a nightmare for France. Ruben, they're burning churches, attacking churches.
Yeah.
Not just what they did. It hasn't stopped, and so France is going to have to reboot and find their Catholic courage, and they're going to have to protect themselves by protecting their, you know, by closing down and being more strict when it comes to immigration, especially the immigration of Muslims that don't want to conform to Western society.
Right. Everybody's not your friend. You know, that's just the way of the world.
Because we got a fallen nature. We're sinners. Yeah. Concupiscence says not everybody's going to like you, and not everybody's on board with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Nope. And
Ruben, let's go. Yeah, let's go right to this article. Halloween will be ugly. Do you have it there?
Yes.
It's very short. Can you rip through it?
Let's go. So Monsignor Stephen Rossetti says that, you know, he started to prepare spiritually for Hallows Eve. You know, there's no bags of candy, no costumes, no pumpkins, as every year it'll be ugly. You know, remember, he's an exorcist. So many of our spiritual sensitives will be pummeled by demons. One year, our team decided to pray over one of our most gifted throughout the night, trying to shield her from the demonic attacks she was she yearly suffered. It didn't work. She got pummeled anyway, but she said she appreciated our efforts. And several of our other sensitives will experience, he's using that word as the people that are, possessed, right? The sensitives will experience increased demonic harassment. Many of our clients who are possessed or severely oppressed will suffer more intensely throughout the night. The priest's exorcists themselves will typically get bombarded with demonic obsessions and an internal battle. So there are times during...
On Halloween.
Yes.
This is what he's talking about, Halloween Day. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah. So there are times during the year when the demonic is more powerful than usual and Halloween is at the top of the list. It's the demons, distortion of the great feast of All Saints the following day. You know, moreover, Satan's human minions will join in and cast curses, spells, and all sorts of evil, which doesn't help. So I wonder about parents who dress up their children as devils or witches. Do they have any idea? Our little team will spend the evening in Eucharistic adoration, keeping vigil. We will await the dawn and the feast of All Saints. Then we will be surrounded by the myriads of holy people celebrated on this day. The radiance of divine light shining through them will cast out the demons. Once again, there will be peace. So he's saying that day...
That's what his father's saying. That's in one sentence. There's more diabolical activity on Halloween Day, and every exorcist I've talked to, they all say that. Former Satanists that are now Catholics, like Deborah Lipsky and David Arias and Zachary King, the list goes on. Every single one of them say that's their high holy day, and so I would just tell Catholics, buck up on that day. Go to Mass that morning. Make sure you pray the rosary that morning. Make sure you do the Divine Mercy. And in the evening, make sure you do the prayers, the Auxilium Christianorum prayers, the prayers written by Father Ripperger and his team of exorcists. Pray those prayers on that day. You got to be protected. Sprinkle holy water on the front door where people are probably going to be knocking at your door, and who knows who's going to be coming up your door. Make sure you're churched, like Ruben says, prayed up and churched up on that day.
Yeah, Jesse. And, it's just like the demons who try to do things kind of in reverse. So they're trying to mock our All Saints Day. And
that's right.
You know, this was the eve of All Saints Day. So they've kind of, we'll talk about it on the next article where it comes
right.
from.
Right. Well, jump on the next article. Just jump on it. It's by Father Angel Perez Lopez, and I wrote a great article for Liber Christus. It's on their website. Let me jump. I'll do the first bit.
Go ahead.
He says, the word Halloween is a contraction of the expression All Hallows Eve or All Saints Eve. It is a deeply Catholic holiday. We must rediscover it. Let us not fall into the fundamentalism that opposes it without reservation, nor in the trap of secular commercialization, which diverts this festival from its religious origins and creates a neo-pagan meaning. So he's talking about both extremes here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall into that. This is the sky is falling. This is evil. Close, batten down the hatches, and close your lock your doors and you know, lock your gates. That's one extreme view. The other one is, don't start walking out there and dressing like a Playboy bunny and like, you know, Friday the 13th and, you know, having a drinking a 12 pack on that night and you know, listening to profane music. As Catholics, there's that. Well, St. Thomas Aquinas always talks about the M-E-A-N. That's finding that middle balance. Go ahead, Ruben.
Well, yeah, Jesse, and going back to our days in police work, I hated Halloween. I just hated it because people were in costumes and they felt, well, just like people are in masks now.
Yes, they felt
that they could be exposed if they committed a crime. And so we had so many robberies that went down on these days.
Yeah. All law enforcement agencies report an increase in crime, especially robbery and some type of theft on Halloween Day across the nation.
Yeah. And you know, you'd hear the broadcast. Oh, suspect described as a male, white, you know, dressed as Bill Clinton. You know, he's got a Bill Clinton mask on. You know, there's just no way you're going to be able to identify him, you know, unless they've got some other identifying tattoos or something.
Yeah.
So that was my experience, is that I hated the Halloween, and I just, the parties that were going on were just outlandish, and especially don't want to go over to West Hollywood because every year they have this Halloween parade, and there's some really extravagant costumes.
They're whipping themselves in public wearing G-strings. Or sometimes nothing underneath, just their trip. You know, they have clothes on top and nothing from the waist to the bottom. Oh, it's diabolical, Ruben.
It's absolutely
diabolical.
Yeah.
Remember your program yesterday, Fulton Sheen says, the devil loves nudity.
Yeah.
Yes. Devil loves nudity.
And I, you know, they couldn't pay me enough money to go. I didn't care about the overtime. I'm not working that. You know, I don't need to see that. So the article goes on to describe where we get this.
The
Celtic culture had a celebration called Samhain, which means end of summer. They would they'd celebrate the end of the harvest and beginning of winter when many people died of cold. However, the Catholic origins of Halloween date back to more than 1,300 years ago during the vigils of the Feast of All Saints. It was instituted by Pope Gregory III when in the 8th century he dedicated a chapel in St. Peter's Basilica to the saints. A century later, Pope Gregory IV declared this celebration a holy day of obligation. In addition, he adopted the tradition of Germanic Catholics and changed the date from May to November. Thus, the vigil of this feast shifted to the last day of October, our current Halloween day. None of these popes seem to know about the Samhain, which ceased when the Celtics converted to Catholicism even before the Feast of All Saints was instituted.
Now, is it possible that some of these elements from the Celtic feast are still alive today? Of course. The Christmas tree also survived. The tradition of Christmas tree has Germanic origins, and we've adopted it in Catholicism without its pagan origins, making it morally bad. In the United States, the Puritan Protestants banned and opposed Halloween radically and without hesitation. Meanwhile, Catholic migrants from Germany and Ireland kept the tradition alive, merging some elements of this holiday with the Feast of All Souls. Therefore, people made cakes on Halloween Day, and children would go from house to house begging for these cakes in exchange for prayers for the benefactors, loved ones, and deceased family members.
Yeah. So historically, the Puritan and Protestant attitude against Halloween was mixed with anti-Catholic feelings in our country. Remember, it wasn't a Catholic country, by the way. Only the commercialization of the holiday managed to solve this persecutory trend. This commercialization brought about a phenomenon similar to that of Christmas. In the case of Halloween, it meant forgetting God and the saints as the center of the feast. This loss of religious sense was reinforced by the extensive number of horror films that fantasize and attempt to fill it with neo-pagan, gloomy, and hidden content.
As Catholics, we cannot fall into the mistake of fundamentalists and despise an explicitly Catholic tradition simply because its commercialization has emptied it of its true content and transformed it into a possible occasion for the dark and gloomy in this neo-paganism. We do not reject Christmas, but we fight to keep its true meaning alive. Let's do the same with Halloween. It's not a celebration of the devil, We don't have to Christianize or change the name of a celebration that is already in itself Catholic. Halloween, remember, Holy Evening. Therefore, Halloween can be celebrated, keeping in mind its origins, and avoid wrongdoings such as superstition, witchcraft, or the glorification of evil by horrible costumes.
So superstition, it's an excess and a perversion of religion. You can see the Catechism, Catholic Church 2110, from which we must purify the feast we have been explaining. For example, some Irish migrants, they endowed Halloween with superstitious content contrary to the faith by merging it with the celebration they invented, the Day of the All Damned. They feared that something bad would happen to them if they didn't celebrate the damned, because these souls would feel excluded. A Catholic Halloween without fundamentalisms cannot fall into a mistake like this. And as we know, our society is not immune to the problem of superstition. At times, we also fall into the error when we attribute an importance to, in some way magical, to certain practices, otherwise lawful or necessary. You could see Catechism 2111.
A Catholic Halloween cannot promote witchcraft either. There's no such thing as good and bad magic. All magic is an attack against God. It entails a rebellion against him and an attempt to replace him, as it says in the Catechism 2117. Let's celebrate Halloween without forgetting God and the saints by going to Mass. Be prayerful that day. Parents are the ones who must make concrete decisions on how to educate their children according to the circumstances in their neighborhood. Nonetheless, as long as superstition, witchcraft, or the glorification of evil are avoided, the act of a child dressing up like a saint or something virtuous and asking for candy, in my opinion, writes this priest, does not necessarily entail in itself a moral evil. Let's not fall into superstition. Let's not attribute a magical importance to a legitimate practice. We can take advantage of this celebration to teach our children how to celebrate it without fundamentalisms and in a Catholic manner, while they have fun without sinning and without falling into neo-paganism. Ruben?
Yeah. Now, maybe you can, you see a rise in the Dia de los Muertos. Now, that's, that. I know, maybe
we'll talk about it next segment.
Yeah,
how's that?
Ahead. Yeah, why don't you let us know about that? Because that's on a lot of people's minds.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be right back, man. Don't change that dial. We're listening to Jesus 911. Two-man car, we're 10-8. Open for calls also. 888-526-2151.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Two retired LASD deputy sheriffs. LASD standing now for love and sacrifice daily, and so that
right.
we live all
Amen.
Sin, leave all sin destroyed. Jesse, I think that because of this this holiday, Halloween, and then with the All Saints and All Souls Day, right back to back, some people kind of mix in this Dia de los Muertos, or this goes way back. I think you probably know more about it than I do, but.
I've written about this.
Oh, how about just a quick overview on it? Because I think some people, you see people dressing up like with those masks, those Muertos masks, and painting their face with all these ghoulish, things. Maybe you could just kind of tell us.
Yeah, if for some people that want to get more on this, just go to the internet and type in Dia de los Muertos. Jesse Romero blog, Dia de los Muertos. I blog every day, and I answer theological questions like this around the internet. Sometimes different news agencies pick them up. They go to my blog and say, oh, that's we like what he talked about today.
Okay.
So if you want to see Dia de los Muertos, Jesse Romero. So here's the way I would respond to this. So is it okay for Catholics to observe or celebrate Dia de los Muertos? I mean, here's a question that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, I've seen altars for the dead inside churches during these days. And what do we make of this? Well, the term Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, this is a popular social event in Latin American countries, especially Mexico. It's based on a religious event, and according to local custom, the Catholic faithful on that day, they celebrate the day by assisting at Holy Mass, visiting deceased loved ones at cemeteries, and offering prayers and penance for the repose of the souls of their family members in purgatory. However, because many Mexican Catholics have become more secular in modern times, modernism we call it, the religious sentiment has been de-emphasized, and for many Catholics, it's become more of a secular day. So they start using painted skull faces, sweet bread treats, pop music, and they go to the cemeteries and create a party atmosphere. And they even start drinking right there on the grave plot of the deceased loved ones.
Mm.
And they'll say, well, you know what? We're remembering our dead family members. Yeah, but it's no good to play rock music and drink tequila in the grave of your family member because so many Mexican Catholics are no longer evangelizing. They're unchurched. So they've blurred the lines between authentic Catholicism and the pagan culture. As Catholics, remember, we pray for the souls in purgatory. We don't party for the souls in purgatory.
Right.
It does them no good. And as Catholics, the Dia de los Muertos, when it's properly, when there's a proper Catholic emphasis, it's a day to go to Mass because you're meditating on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. But per se, Dia de la Muerte, or Dia de los Muertos, it's not a Catholic feast day, or it's not a Catholic holy day. This is a pagan Mexican holiday that comes from the Aztecs, Ruben.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's where it comes from.
And
it's a holdover, because remember, what's the goal of the Catholic Church? Baptize and teach everybody in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They haven't done that good of a job. I mean, they've baptized most of South America and Latin America. They've fulfilled that part of Matthew 28:19, but they haven't catechized them, Reuben. And so most Catholics south of the border, they mix their Catholicism with Aztec pagan religious practices. This is called the sin of syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the Aztec pagan practices. It's called El Día de los Muertos. And a lot of low-information Catholics, they think it's a Catholic day. No, it's not.
Yeah.
The Catholic day is All Saints Day, the following day, and All Souls Day, the following day after that, where we pray the rosary, offer masses, we visit our beloved dead in the cemetery, we light votive candles in the church. That's what we do for our dead. We don't go to the cemetery, take tequila, take pan dulce, and take a boombox and start partying.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They'll make these. They call them ofrendas. You know, like a meaning, like offering.
Yeah, offerings.
On offering, so they'll, you know, put a whole table full of food and fresh fruit, pan dulce, like you said, and so, you know, you see that also in the Buddhist religion. They make these all. You know, if you go into a donut shop, a lot of them, yeah, on donut shops, and you see a little tray, a plate of donuts, and with a little candle burning and. It's kind of the same thing, Jesse.
Yeah, but here's where both of them, where they have a similar understanding. The Aztecs and the Buddhists, here's where their error comes in. Both of those pagan religions have the practice of what's called ancestor worship.
Mm.
And that's, you see, all yeah, paganism comes from the devil, Ruben. So
yeah,
they're all going to borrow their essential errors are all going to be the same. And so you'll see the Buddhist and the Aztecs and many others, Africans, the African pagan religions, they have all of them in common. It's called ancestor worship. And this is something that as Catholics, we don't worship our ancestors. We pray for them. We pray for them, especially if they're in purgatory. And we don't try to communicate with them like, oh, I got to talk with Tio Paco, you know, I got to go talk to him and I'll see how he's doing. No, you don't do that.
No, you don't.
That's called the sin of necromancy, a communication with the dead, which is denounced by the Catholic Church as a sin of superstition and in Deuteronomy chapter 18.
Absolutely. Hey, and I just don't want the audience to say, hey, well, why did Ruben bring up donuts, man? Is there cops and donuts? Come on, I was just asking for a friend.
That's right. Hey, Ruben, where are you going to be at this Sunday? You guys got something important going on, right?
Sunday.
My brother Johnny's going to be with you.
On Sunday, yeah. We'll be at the cathedral. That's right. Thanks for reminding me. We're going to be our last day of a prayer, a rosary rally at the L.A. Cathedral, downtown L.A., from 11 to 1. And we'll be doing the three decades of the rosary. We're doing it in Latin. And so rosary is powerful when it's done in a group, and it's even That's more right. powerful when, because it's Latin. So,
you're doing it in a group, in public, and in Latin. So you're projecting AR-15 rounds on Sunday.
We're checking all the boxes, Jess, and we're also going to be doing the Litany of the Saints in Latin. And but you know, don't be afraid if you don't know. We'll have a handout so you can follow along. Okay, so don't.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so your brother has decided to join us, and that's great. You know, our leader out there, Laura Chavez, she ran into him up at some other prayer events, and she talked to him about this one, and so he's kind enough.
He's all in.
He's in. That's good.
Yeah, he's all in.
And so we've got a good turnout, and one of our listeners on the show, Hector. He's out there with us. He leads one of the rosaries, and so it'll be a prayerful event. And
amen.
And you know the bishop, he doesn't want us out there. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. But we're not doing anything to we're promoting. We're actually asking him, come pray with us. You know, Archbishop, come pray with us. You know, open our churches. And we have Trump signs out there because, you know, we're not going to hold back on it. This is, we have
That's right.
Trump signs. We have pro-police signs, back the blue. So the, you know, we have some church militant people out there.
Ruben, you have a lot of people out there in California. I mean, Beverly Hills is having Trump rallies and yeah. there's it's happening all over California, these little rallies, Orange County and other parts and stuff. A lot of people are realizing that this guy is very pro-Catholic friendly.
Yes.
He was here yesterday in Goodyear, Arizona, and he was talking. He gave a big speech just about Catholicism,
oh, wow.
about just the way the contribution of Catholicism to our country And he says, how do you like your new Catholic Supreme Court Justice, Amy Coney Barrett?
Oh, no.
The crowd went wild.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, there'll be a Trump rally, a car rally this Saturday in Rancho Cucamonga. So you can look that up. And they're all
Ruben,
over. Justin.
Ruben, also the Latino vote is going to surprise people this election.
Yeah.
I'm looking at different news agencies that are saying there's more Latinos voting for Trump than any other Republican in the history of our country.
Mm. So it does us no good to win back the presidency, but lose the Senate and lose the House.
No.
Okay. No, it'll be horrible. So we have to, support our GOP, leaders, the House and Senate.
And the reason is, Ruben, because their party platform is totally pro-life and pro-family, pro-religious liberty and pro-faith. And that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
You know, we'll argue about the secondary issues about, education for everybody, health for welfare, Social Security. Those are issues that we can argue and even have a different opinion because those are policy issues. But the GOP, Ruben, is lined up with Catholic teaching on the issues of life and marriage. I mean, this is the essence of our faith.
Yep, that's right. It's wonderful to see, people of good faith, goodwill coming together, for this president. And I honestly feel like he really supports us, that he's interested in our well-being. Interested. I didn't get that from any other president.
Nope.
Because he's not a politician. He's not. He's in it. He doesn't have to do this. That's the thing, So
all the other people that run have to do this. It's their livelihood.
Yeah.
This is their means of putting, potatoes on the table. This president is doing it out of love. What does love mean in Catholicism? To will and desire what's best for another. He wants what's best for this country because this country's given so much to him.
Yep.
Ruben, I want to just continue to talk. I want to give a little bit of the history of now that you just kind of triggered me. On Dia de los Muertos, I want to go a little bit deeper, maybe on the next segment, on exactly where it comes from, because this is a huge issue in Catholic parishes and for Hispanic Catholics. So I want to go into the pagan roots of Dia de los Muertos a little bit deeper on the next segment. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll do it. We're coming up on our third break. Time goes by fast when you're having fun.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and let's grow this show, Jesus 911. Jesus 911 basically means Jesus, help. That's what it means. We all got to look. Lord, come to our assistance. That's what Jesus 911 really means. Ruben?
Right. Hold that thought, Jesse. We're going to come back in a minute.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall-to-wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary. It's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific, Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We're back.
Come to our assistance.
Amen. Jesse, so we're getting wrapping up for All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and it's a big deal. It's a big event, you know. So we really have to. A lot of people don't realize that All Saints Day is we're honoring all the saints that aren't on the calendar, not canonized saints, but these are the people, the loved ones that are in heaven. I mean, also the saints that are canonized, but yeah. We really recognize a lot of those.
Unsung heroes, as they say.
Yeah.
Unsung heroes.
That's right.
Because that's what they're saying. A saint's a hero. It's not a guy that can throw a football or a baseball or lift weights or stuff. You know, the body's going to fall apart and your record's going to be broken. Mm-hmm. Somebody who gets to heaven, Reuben, is really a hero.
That is our goal. That's got to be the goal of everyone. Everyone listening to the show, don't say, oh, I can't do it. I can't be a saint. You know what? Every sinner, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So you can do it. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with the help through the sacraments, through following the church teachings and not being on the sidelines. Jess, you got to be in the game. You it's like, hey, coach, put me in. You can't want to just be a spectator. This is not a spectator sport.
That's
being
right.
A Catholic, right?
Yeah, God doesn't need fans. He needs followers. Yeah. God doesn't need cheerleaders. He needs gladiators.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's powerful. I love that, man. You get me fired up, Jesse.
Reuben, let me talk a little bit about the history of Dia de los Muertos. I know we have a lot of Hispanic listeners, and they're probably saying, okay, I want some more depth to this. You can get my article. Just type in Jesse Romero blog, Dia de los Muertos, and it'll come up on the internet. But so here's what happened. When the Aztecs controlled Mexico, this is probably a little bit more than 500 years ago, and the Spanish conquistadores, Hernando Cortés, when they came to Mexico, they encountered the Aztecs practicing these rituals that seemed to mock death. Mm. And it was a ritual that the indigenous Aztec people, even 500 years ago, they told Hernando Cortés that they've been practicing this at least for 3,000 years, this ritual killing in pyramids. And so the Spanish, they entered into a war shortly thereafter with the Aztecs to try to eradicate this basically systematic killing machine that was happening in the pyramids. But the ritual that the Aztecs called it was called El Día de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. And so this ritual is celebrated in Mexico and certain parts of the U.S. And these celebrations, they're held in a lot of Hispanic neighborhoods, like, here in Mesa, Chandler, Guadalupe, Los Angeles, San Fernando, Pacoima, East L.A. And this ritual of the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, it comes from the Aztecs. They still maintain the basic principles of the Aztec ritual. What do I mean by that? They use skulls. Mm-hmm. Today people, they'll don these wooden skull masks. They're called calacas, and they dance in honor of their deceased relatives. And the wooden skulls are placed also, they make altars that are dedicated to the dead. Sometimes they'll make like sugar skulls made out of candy or something, or made with the names of the dead person on the forehead of the sugar skull. And then they're eaten by a relative or a friend, kind of like a communion service. You know what I'm saying? And so the Aztecs and the other indigenous Indians from those civilizations, they also kept the skulls of the dead as trophies and they displayed them during their rituals in the human sacrifice around the pyramids. You'll find all these little shrines that are made from human skulls around the pyramids in Mexico where they did the human sacrifice.
That's right.
And again, the skulls are used to symbolize death and rebirth. And the skulls, well, the Aztecs say that the skulls were used to honor the dead. And the Aztecs also had this belief that the dead would come back to visit them during this month-long ritual in November. But the Spaniards, they viewed death, again, they were Catholics, so they knew that death is final. That's the end of life. But the Aztecs, the pagans, viewed death as a continuation of life. So instead of fearing death, they embraced it because to them, life was like a dream for the Aztecs, and only in death do you become truly awake. So the pre-Hispanic people, they had this, like I mentioned before to you during the last segment, they had this thing called ancestor worship. And it's remained even to this day. But the Aztecs have considered those practices, those rituals, that's sacrilegious because they were formed by the Catholic faith. And so they've perceived that the Aztecs, these practices of human sacrifice, worshiping your ancestors, human shrines with skulls, the Aztecs said this is barbaric and this is pagan. And so in their attempts to convert the Aztecs to the Catholic faith, the Spaniards tried to kill their rituals by conquering them. But unlike, any demonic spirit, the ritual refuses to die because you can't kill an evil spirit. You could just, bind it and send it to hell. But so to make the ritual more Christian, a lot of Spaniards, they've moved it to coincide with All Saints and All Souls Day. That's according to the tradition. That's probably why the Pope did that November 1st and 2nd to basically try to, baptize or conquer or dominate this ancient pagan practice. And the Aztecs also had in their solar calendar, they also had this goddess known as the Lady of the Dead. And that's why you find the cartels, they paint La Santa Muerte as a lady. You notice that? Well, that comes from the Aztec solar calendar because they had, this was during the month of August. The Aztecs said that the Lady of the Dead was believed to have died and born again. And so, Reuben, this is nothing all but recycled paganism, and as the Catholic Church teaches, or St. Paul teaches in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, he says, you can't be mismated with unbelievers. He says, for what partnership has righteousness with sin, or what fellowship has light with darkness?
Yeah, Jesse, there's you don't hear enough priests putting this down and educating the.
They just accept it, Reuben. They just they're stupid, low information people. Let them dance and act like pagans and stuff, and then they can come to Mass and receive communion. That doesn't do them any good, Reuben.
No.
We have to break with our pagan past. I tell people, look, my parents are from Mexico. I accept everything good from Mexico, like the faith of the Cristeros, Our Lady of Guadalupe, San Juan de los Lagos. I mean, there's so much beautiful Catholicism in Mexico. Padre Miguel Pro, his life, his stellar life and the way he died. José Luis de Sahuayo, Michoacán. There's so much beautiful Catholicism in Mexico. Let's draw from those riches and let's reject the pagan trappings of Mexico, like pyramids, as temples to sacrifice human beings,
right.
Dia de los Muertos. We have to, the Mexican cartels, we have to reject the evil that comes from Mexico and embrace the good that comes from Mexico, like taquitos de guacamole.
Yeah, Jesse, you're absolutely right. So let's just, in the last minute we have, how can we make the Catholic Halloween re-Christianize it?
Okay, here's what I do. Little monsters are going to knock at my door, in 2 days, And what I do, I've done it before, but it doesn't work that well. When I lived in California, I did it like 2 or 3 years in a row. Turn off the lights, you know, close the gates, lock the doors. And then what happens, these kids start throwing eggs at my door.
Oh, boy.
They started throwing rocks at my door, kind of like, you know, here's a Scrooge. He doesn't want to give us candy. So I didn't, for 3 years in a row, I was cleaning eggs from my front windows, from my door. I said, oh, no, that ain't happening again. So I turn on the light. I put a baseball cap on. It says, Jesus is Lord. I have my big St. Benedict's medal hanging underneath me. I got background music, you know, playing in my house, you know, a Gregorian chant. The little monsters knock on my door, trick or treat. I give them all a handful of candy. That way they say, this is the house to go to. He gives a lot of good candy. Mm-hmm. And I tell them all, hey, God bless you. Hey, Jesus loves you. They're all looking at my baseball cap that says Jesus is Lord. They see a big fat crucifix around my neck. And as I'm throwing candy in there, I'm also throwing in a little saint card, a small little card of a saint. Mm. I throw it in their bag, unbeknownst to them. And so they're going to go home. They're going to open up their bag. Their parents are going to say, oh, so what did you get here? The mom and dad or the kid, they're going to pick up a card with Jesus Christ's face on it, on the back, a prayer. And a lot of parents look at me when I tell their little goblins, God bless you. Jesus loves you. The parents that are there on the sidewalk, they're like, they light up.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
He's one of the good guys. Yeah.
Yes. And so I use that day, Reuben, to evangelize because I'm not going to, I tried to defeat the culture by saying, not in this house. I'm going to turn off the lights, lock the doors. I don't believe in this garbage and stuff. I've tried that. It doesn't work. And so I counter the darkness with the light.
Oh, good point. That's good.
Right?
Yep. I mean, I did that out in the streets. I used to give out holy cards out there when they'd ask for me for baseball cards. I go, hey, here you go. Here's St. Paul's rookie card right here. And the parents would look at me like, wow, you know, what's he doing? So you're right. We have to, and what we talked about earlier. You know, you can dress your children up as, you know, as saints.
Something wholesome, wholesome. Yeah.
And
saints would be the perfect thing. You know,
it would be. You know,
you want to blow somebody. Dress your kids like Saint Dennis. I forget his last name. He cut off his head.
Oh man!
And I think he walked for like 10 miles before he dropped dead.
Yeah.
Have your kid walk with this a little head on his shoulder, and the sign says Saint Dennis. I forget his name, St. Dennis. Yeah. You could look it up. But he walked 10 miles, Reuben, with his head cut off, and he preached. His head was preaching the entire time. Yeah, he was martyred by the Emperor Decian in 250 AD. He lived in the 3rd century. He was the Catholic bishop.
Wow. Yeah, they have a St. Dennis church here in Diamond Bar out here in Southern California. You're right. You've been, you know, we've covered a lot of ground, Jesse. A lot of people have been...
Hey, by the way, your show yesterday was outstanding. I was listening to it all the way from the airport back home. Oh, outstanding.
Thank you, man. Well, you can't go wrong with Dan Schneider, man.
Yeah. High info Dan.
Yeah, he's a walking encyclopedia right there. So, yeah, let's do the right thing. Let's keep these days holy that we got coming up. Remember, we'll be at the cathedral this Sunday from 11 to 1. Come out and join us. This could be our last day out there. It's the last day, but definitely before the election. We have to... we have to turn the tide here and pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for our country, and like we never have before. We're going to also spend Monday night in prayer and Mass the night before the election. So anyway, thank you for listening.
Go to Mass on Halloween Day and pray your rosary and divine mercy that day.
All right, stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuta. Thank you. We're 10-7. Out.
Out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.